You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Father God, Lord, we do thank you that you have awakened our souls. And Lord, this morning, as always, Father, we pray you breathe new life into us. Father, revive us, refresh us. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is ever before us. And so, Lord, we welcome you as you welcome us. So, Lord, may your word come alive and may we glean from it all that we need to live godly lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Awesome. You may be seated. Well, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Awesome. Nice to hear some ladies. Funny, first service, I said, happy Mother's Day. And only one guy goes, thank you. I was like, okay. That woke me up. Hey, I just want to reiterate, don't forget, Fellowship Feast next Sunday after third service. So let me give you some options. Option one, you come to first service and then you go home during second service to cook your vittles and then you bring them after third service. Option number two, come to third service and then just stay for the festivities. You know, now that we have three services and all three services are growing, in order for us to all be able to connect with all the people that come to different services, I think it's great that we have these fellowship feasts. So keep that in mind. Next Sunday, fellowship feast. And we love breaking bread together. All right, if you would please open your Bibles to John chapter 16. And we're going to look at verse 21 and 22. Now, I also want you to know we're going to jump around quite a bit. This is just a springboard verse. We will kind of tackle it, but not my usual form. How I normally pick it apart and get in depth. I'm not going to do that today. We're just going to do a topical message for you ladies, for moms, Mother's Day. Now, I've entitled our message, Do You Want to Know What Love Is? I thought it was an important question to ask. You know, there are songs written about, you know, I want to know what love is. And I think there's the ideas, the concepts behind what love is anymore sometimes becomes muddled or skewed. And so it's important for us to ask the question, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Baby, I'm glad some of you got that. It's like first service, they were like, no, they weren't. They got it anyways. Well, here you go. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 says this, God is love. God is love. And by the way, if you didn't know, God is a three-letter word. You're like, wow, he's really a smart pastor. Yeah, it is. However, there's another three-letter word that also means love, and it's mom. Mom is a great illustration, as you're going to see in our study this morning, that mom is a great illustration for love. Now, although the message today is primarily for moms, men do not check out. This isn't goal. This is for moms, you know, catching some Z's. And here's why. Let me ask you, how many of y'all here this morning have parents? Two of you. Okay. I'm going to go out. Listen, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go give a far-fetched assumption. I'm going to assume that if you had parents, the possibility that one of them might be a mom is pretty high, I think. So now that we've established that we all know moms, we all have moms, and some of you may even be moms, let me let you know that this is very important that we all recognize the importance. So we need to establish the importance of mom by asking, what is a mom? How, well, The definition of a mother is a biological or social female parent of offspring. Ooh, doesn't that just warm your heart? That should be a Mother's Day card. To my biological and or social female parent, I love you. Listen, the parent of offspring. Listen, just having a baby makes you a parent. That's scary. Listen, Sydney Harris said this. The commonest fallacy among women is simply having children makes you a mother, which is as absurd as believing that having a piano makes you a musician. Anyone can be a parent, but to be a mom is much more like a musician. It takes time, it takes dedication, it takes time getting to know and fine-tuning your instrument or fine-tuning your children. Another definition for mom that I thought was interesting, one person who works 20 to 40 hours more than everyone else and does it for free. That's a great, yeah, okay. It's true. Let's look at our verses. John chapter 16, verse 21 and 22. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. What I'm going to look at this morning is I'm going to show you that there are parallels between a mother's love and Christ's love for the church. Now, let's take a few moments, though, before we look at that, to look at motherhood with a rational perspective. When we look at motherhood from a worldly perspective, in other words, when we look at motherhood through the rationale and through the logic of man, it will be a cause for pause. That why would anyone embark on this venture called motherhood? It would appear to be a hazardous situation, not just for the mother, but for the baby. Listen, the baby is a defenseless little being. And the baby is thrust into the hands of two people who don't have a clue what they're doing. Remember? They have no experience, no credentials, no instructions, no training, no classes. And by the way, there kind of are classes. I remember during my first experience with a baby and pregnancy, they had a class called Lamaze. And the only Lamaze I immediately thought of Steve McQueen racing cars. So it's like, Lamaze? We're going to take car racing classes. I'm excited. This is awesome. But Lamaze basically wants to counter the horrific and agonizing pain of childbirth through rhythmic breathing. Basically equivalent of, hey, just walk it off. But to have a baby, there is no mental exam to verify the sanity or competence of those who are embarking, to deem whether they are capable of raising a child. No approval needed, no license, no certificate. Yet, in order to operate a car, you have to be 18 years old. You have to take both written and driven driving tests before you can operate, control, or direct a vehicle. But to control a life and direct a life, no licensing needed at all. To shape a life can be obtained by anyone at any time. What is required? Oh, just the basic, most basic understanding of the mechanics of procreation, and you too can be a parent. And oh, the baby arrives and the two people involved are immediately promoted to parent. Oh, great. Age, intellect, finances, not a factor, not at all. And the baby? The baby is unwillingly thrust into this world. That's one of the reasons why it's painful, because the baby don't want to go. He's hanging on for dear life. The baby is quite content with his womb without a view. Pun intended. There are risks. There are. Ladies, there's risks to your health, to your fortune, to your future, even sometimes to your happiness. Not to mention the incredible pain of childbirth. Oh, and the side effects, right? The waistline, the extra weight, the clothing, and all the dreaded stretch marks. Oh, and what about the sleepless nights, right? You ever heard go up to someone and say, hey, how'd you sleep last night? Well, I slept like a baby. No, you didn't. If you slept like a baby, you were up every hour with the mess in your pants and hungry. Don't ever say you slept like a baby. Oh, okay, so now the baby develops and it gets a normal sleeping pattern, sleeping habits, and shortly after that it begins teething. And oh, we're back. Then the terrible twos, and then the terrible teens. Oh, gosh. If you're a teenager in here, I'm sorry. And then the financial aspect. If you desire to be rich, to become wealthy, having babies is the wrong way to go about it. Kids are expensive. Childcare, groceries, clothing, gift giving, bigger homes, education, recreation, additional insurance, and on. Not to mention that in 2012, the USDA did a estimate, the average expense of raising a child between $240,000 and $300,000 between birth and 18. Then you add on top of that college, $20,000 to $90,000 a year, depending on how smart your kid is. Happy Mother's Day. You're like, golly. No, listen. Listen, when you look at motherhood logically from the world's perspective, it makes no sense for anyone to venture into motherhood. Why? Because rationale and logic are both devoid of one thing, love. You see, love changes everything. When you omit the love factor, it doesn't make any sense. In fact, love will cause you to throw caution to the wind, doesn't it? Remember when you were in love? I hope you, if your wife is next to you, that better be today. Gosh, can I remember when I was in love? Listen, when you're in love, you just rush in. You don't even think about cost or consequences. You don't think about pain and suffering. You don't think about any of those things. Love will make us foolish. By world standards, it really will. In fact, 1 Corinthians 1:27 says this, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. You see, to the world, it doesn't make any sense why we would love God. They don't get it. You're going to give up your Sundays? You know the things you could be doing? You're going to go Wednesday night? You're going to serve in church? You're going to give tithes and offerings? Gosh, are you dumb? That don't make any sense. And yeah, until you fall in love with God. That was me. But when love plays a part, we become fools. But love is always worth it, isn't it? Yeah. Do you want to know what love is? Listen, we're going to see right now parallels between mom's love and Christ's love. Looking from a calculated worldly perspective, to have children is foolish. To embark on parenthood is foolish. To embrace motherhood denies all logic until you add love to the mix, and then it makes perfect sense. The mother Hood venture has a power and a beauty that compares to the godly venture of Jesus Christ. See, Christ went to the cross. It was painful. Look at our verse here, John 16:21. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. Does that sound familiar? Jesus Christ said, my hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. And then the moment it was time, guess what was happening? He was sweating profusely. He was saying, Father, if there be another way. And then he went into the process of giving birth to us through dying on the cross. Spiritual birth. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despising the shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne. For Jesus, the cross was pain and suffering. For a mom, pregnancy is pain and suffering. Especially if you get pregnant out here in the desert and you have to be pregnant in the ninth month, in 125 degree weather, you're like, this ain't going to happen again. Until you see the baby. Listen, it blows our, men admit this, it blows our mind that a woman, she gets pregnant. We get that. It happens. But then she goes through all that pain and suffering, all that discomfort, then goes through the pregnancy, through the delivery. Hear them screaming, digging their nails into your arms. And the baby comes. And you go, whoo, glad that's over. And they look at you, I want another one. If it was up to us men, if we were the ones to be involved, we'd die out. Human race, done. Right? There's stress. There's sorrow leading up to the actual labor. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Listen, Jesus Christ had the hematidrosis, the breaking of the, busting of the capillaries, but he was also sweating even before that. Do you realize it was cold? Over in Mark chapter 14, verse 16 tells us that Peter was warming his hands by the fire, which tells us it was a cold night. Yet Jesus was in such agony that he was sweating. Isn't it always cold in the operating room in the hospitals? And yet the women, when they're giving birth, it's that same kind of agony. And it's all done out of love. Makes no sense until you add love to the mix. Oh, but for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Oh, for the joy that was set before her, she endured the birth. Thank God for moms. Just as a mother endures the pain in anticipation of the wonderment of receiving a newborn baby into her arms. Much like Jesus endured the cross, he finds joy in being able to hold a newborn believer in his arm. And it came by much pain. That's an intense love. Now think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. You want to talk about an intense irony? Well, she suffered giving birth to Jesus, the one who would suffer to die for her sins to give birth to her. What? Jesus is the only woman who gave birth to the person who would give her birth. Spiritual birth. Wow. Ladies, here's the thing. I don't know if you notice this or recognize this, but you can actually relate to Christ on the cross. What drove you to want to have a baby was love and the desire to nurture. Jesus Christ, the reason he went to the cross was his desire to see us born again and to nurture. And I love this. Psalm 127:3 says, behold, the children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. It's also your reward, isn't it? Thank God for moms. So you want to know what love is? Men, We don't understand. We don't. We try. We wanna. We really do. We put our hand on the mother's stomach and we feel the kick and we think we get it. Oh, look at that. That's cool. Yeah, but we're on the outside. The mom gets to feel that on the inside. And some guys go, well, I feel that whenever I eat Taco Bell, but that's a different kind. That's a different kick altogether. May feel alive, but it's not. But what do women say, right? When you get in that young relationship and they want a baby and you're like, honey, I don't think we can afford it. And what does the lady go? I was like, what's that? My biological clock is ticking. And I'm like, great, at least it's working. If it breaks down, I'll fix it. But see, what that is God has placed a desire in your heart to want to have children. See, if he didn't place that in you, the human race would die out. Because by all logical terms, it doesn't make any sense. There just has to be this drive for love. A drive for love. God has equipped you, ladies, with a very special expression of love. We don't understand it. Why? Because, men, it's hard enough for us to take care of ourselves. We stink at it. We do. The Bible. You don't believe me? What does God say? God says over in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it is not good for a man to be alone. Yeah, amen. Isn't it true? A man gets sick and he goes from man to baby in 6.3 seconds. I'm so sick. Are you dying? I feel like it. You big baby. That's why God created marriage. Because we are not good alone. God created a beauty of unity. Out of this beauty of unity, we get father, mother, we get parent, we get mom and dad. Remember I said, by the way, mom is a three-letter word that's like God, love, but so is dad. Three-letter words that mean love. But right now we're going to focus more on the mama. It's your day. But God created beautiful things. I challenge you. I challenge you to find something more beautiful than a mama. You can't. There's something special. By the way, do you realize it takes a man and a woman to illustrate God's love? It really does. Why? Well, remember that Jesus is what? Both lion and lamb. I'm not lion and lamb. I'm pure lion. My wife is pure lamb. With a little bit of claw in there. I'm teasing. She's awesome. She uses them to scratch my back. It's so awesome. But see, Jesus is both lion and lamb. It's got the two sides. We see this over in Revelation chapter 5. It says, you know, do not weep. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, of the root of David. And then it goes, I looked and behold, in the midst of creatures, amidst the elders, stood a lamb as if were slain. Jesus is lion and lamb. He's the only one that can do that. So within mom and dad, you have lion and lamb. You have strength and you have compassion. You have protector and you have nurturer within mom and dad. The Bible tells us that we were created in His image. So then He creates man and woman, and together, it's a beautiful process in which we can create another life. Of course, He gives the spirit and the soul, but He lets us be involved in the process of creating. It's so awesome. Their unity, the unity of taking what God separated and said, here, I'm going to make woman out of man. And then coming back together makes more mankind. That's awesome. And by the way, sex is not taboo. lot of people are like, oh, sex in the church. No, it's not. God created sex and he made it to be amazing. It was his idea. It didn't have to be this way. We could go down to, you know, the, what do you call it, floral shop, or not the floral shop, but the, gosh, I can't even think, where you buy plants? What do they call those things? Nursery, yes. Gosh almighty. We would have had to go to the nursery and pull a kid from a pod. But he said, no, I want to make it incredible. I want to make it spectacular. I'm going to put all the nerve endings right where they are for you to enjoy it. But then we pervert it. God said, let man not be alone. Let him find woman, and let woman then bring forth the child. See, man with his hands can build a house. But a woman with her heart and love can make a home. It's a cool combination. A woman brings beauty and brings sweet fragrances. A man brings fragrances, but we don't want to talk about it. I mean, he goes to work, he works hard, he gets sweat. What were you thinking? So there are other differences. The way that men and women love. And you're like, really, Pastor? You figured that out all by yourself? Yes. See, when a woman, she falls in love, it's spectacular. See, when a woman falls in love, oh, the sun just seems to shine brighter. All the animals eat from her hand. Butterflies come and fly and tie ribbon in her hair. She glows. When a man, they don't really fall in. It's more like they step in love. You know, hey, listen, no one got hurt. The man's just going along, minding his own business, and then it's like, poof. What's that? Oh, man, I'm in love. I can't get it off me. Oh, and then he goes around. He comes around where his friends are, and his friends, they're, Randy, you got love on you, man. I know. The hills are alive. But men and women fall in love differently. And God designed it that way. But this union, this relationship of man and woman, it's an expression of God. Do you realize that every single type of relationship is an expression of God's love? It is. The love between a man and a woman, the love between a parent and child, we're the children of God. The relationship between brother and sister, aren't we all brothers and sisters in the Lord? The relationship between employer and employee, we're slaves to Christ. You see, it's all to point, even your relationship with your pets. You ever notice how you have a dog? Your dog just loves you unconditionally. You leave the house, you come back in, you would think you were gone a year. Oh, it's you, you're back. That's what God wants. God wants, remember, I think that's why they're our best friends. Now, cats, they're the devil. All you cat lovers, I'm going to find a better church. A cat-loving church. No. I don't mean it like that. What I'm saying is, like a cat, the cat doesn't need you. The cat's like, oh, you're home. Great. Where's my food? Where a dog's like, shut up, cat. I'm happy. But God would love it. God would love it if we went to prayer, and then as soon as we got away from prayer and came back like 5 minutes later, oh, God, I missed you. And we're not that way, are we? We're more like cats. Oh, I got to pray. I guess I can give you 5 minutes. Lord, give me this, give me that, give me another cat. But God designed life. He designed relationship. He put man and woman together to make them complete. And then out of that union, we get mom. Amazing. Woman. Do you realize when Adam saw woman, when he saw Eve, he said, whoa, man. Woo! That for me? Way to go, God. I'm not lying. But a mother, her love is unconditional. It really is. The woman who carried that baby in her belly, she loves that baby as that baby grows up, no matter what they do. Prove it to you. You ever seen a crime scene? They catch a serial killer. And they interview the mom, and it's like, little Johnny, little Susie, oh, they would never do that. No, they just killed a bunch of, no, not my little Johnny, sweetest child ever. It's that unconditional love. You know, that's a mother love. That's a 1 Corinthians 13:7 love. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things for her children. God, I love my mama. I love my mom. Unfortunately, unlike God's love, mom's love, sometimes a mother's love is imperfect. It's not quite so unconditional. Sometimes a mother's love can be enabling, and that's dangerous for a child. God is never enabling. In fact, in Proverbs 3:12, it says, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. Sometimes parents don't. They allow their children to suffer because they don't discipline them. Now, on the other side, sometimes a parent's love and their correction is too strong that it becomes godly. It becomes abuse. Or sometimes a mom will put her children before her husband, which was never designed to be God's way. But when you have that perfect balance of love and nurture, of care and compassion and discipline, and when there's balance, what a beautiful, beautiful treasure we have in mom. I found a cool poem. Let me read it to you. It says, a mother's love begins before the child is born and lasts throughout time, difficulties and differences, and many wounds and days of joy. Days of sorrow, winding, wearing, weeping, sharing, changing, until at the end, what remains is at this solid core that began as love before the child was born. And isn't that like God's love? Doesn't God's love begin before even the child is born? Because a mother loves that baby inside her when it's kicking and moving around there. The first time the mother feels that flutter, she's blown away. What was that? Oh my gosh, it's alive. But God also says he loves the baby before it's born. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Or how about Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. For you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that fully well. Isn't that awesome? He knitted us together in our mother's womb. You know, oftentimes people say, you know, life begins at conception. Yeah, God's conception. In God's mind, you were alive even before your mother and father came together. That's when life began. It began in the mind of God. And then the mom, what she eats, the baby eats. What she likes, the baby likes. Oftentimes you see a child and you can tell what's going to happen to the child by the way they were in the belly. Listen, my daughter Desiree, who led worship, I knew she was going to love music. Why? Because when she was in the belly, she would get all freaky when music came on. It was like, whoa, calm down. It looked like it's alive or something, like things coming out. This, she just loved music. And look at her now. There's a connection. There is a connection that men, we can't understand. In fact, over in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, men, dwell with your wives with understanding. In other words, God's saying, listen, pretend like you understand. No, he's saying, listen, through Christ, we can begin to understand our wives. Because of God's word, I believe I understand my wife more than I ever did before I was a Christian. How about, let's continue in John 16. John 16, verse 21 and 22. It says, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born to the world. Just as a mother endures the pain and anticipation of that wonderment, much like Christ enduring the cross, he finds joy holding a new believer. Now, notice this. It says she no longer remembers the anguish. And it's true, right? She gives birth, so painful, screaming, and then she says, I want another one. Well, God remembers no longer. It says he no longer remembers the anguish. He no longer remembers our sin. As a mother doesn't remember the pain, Christ doesn't remember the pain that paid for our sins. He refuses to hold it against us. In fact, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 says, I will be merciful on the unrighteous and their sins and their iniquity. I will remember no more. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, as far as he has removed our transgressions from us. God removes our, and he says, I don't want to remember it. I choose not to. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Listen, love doesn't look at the sacrifice. Love doesn't count the cost. Love just gives. Love is sacrifice, right? No greater love has a man than this, and he laid down his life for a friend. That's what a mom does. She lays her life down from her own health to her own future sometimes, her finances. All of that is laid down for the baby. I think of my mama. I love my mama. Some of you have met my mama, and I'm not ashamed to say I am a mama's boy. I sure am. But my mom, when she was young, she was an entertainer. She was a very good entertainer, much like I was, except she was good. She was actually, she actually had quite a career going, a true professional. Now, the thing is there were, you know, I was very young and I had two older sisters and she was on tour. And they finally wanted to give her a long, lengthy tour to go around the world, basically around the world tour. And my dad looked at my mom and she said, she was all excited. And he was too, because he used to go with her. So he made enough money that he would just travel with her. And he says, but, you know, Josie, we go on this. You realize that someone else is going to raise our children. So you need to make a choice. You either hang on to your dreams and we go make all this money and you know, become famous or whatever, or you take care of your children. I never saw my mama again. No. No. No, I'm teasing. No, she gave up. She gave up her dreams. My mom gave up her dreams. And you know what she did? She never threw it in our face. She never said, you rotten kids, you realize what I gave up for you? She never. I didn't find this out until I was much older. Because she simply loved us. Do you realize that's the same thing that Jesus does for us? He forgives us. And he never throws it in our face. Really, Randy? That's what you're going to do? You're going to do that after all I've done for you? He never does that. He just says, I choose to forgive you, Randy. I don't even want to remember what you did. Wow. What a gift. I like what Erich Fromm says. The mother-child relationship is a paradox. In a sense, it's tragic. It requires the most intense love on a mother's side, yet this very love must help the child grow away from the mother and become fully independent. The baby's first step is a step away from mommy. The first step your baby will learn, or your baby learned, was that first step in going away from mom. And that's a hard thing for such a deep love. Now think about Mary. If anyone understood this, it would be Mary, right? Like I said, she received Christ, but then she presented him to the world. She had to let him go and then let him go and watch him die on the cross, but know that it was for that very very purpose of saving her and everyone else. When Jesus took his first step as a baby, it was that first step to the cross to die on our stead. And his mama watched. She loved him. Because imagine, he was the perfect baby, perfect child, perfect teen. Whew, that's a miracle. Perfect teen and perfect young man. And then he died the perfect death so we can have salvation. And the cool thing about God is when I got born again, every step that I took wasn't away from God. It was closer to my eternal home in heaven. Isn't that cool? You want to know what love is? It's unconditional. It's sacrificial. It's faithful. And once again, here in our verse, in verse 22, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you. The sorrow of birth, the sorrow of growth, the sorrow of the departure is something that is precious in a mother's eyes and heart. And that leads to the next step. The next step is the preparation that a mother makes for her child. And I think of a great example is in Proverbs 31. A mom advising her son, her desire for her son. This is Bathsheba. We know that was with David. And her son, David and Bathsheba's son, Solomon. See, every mom wants her son to find a good woman, right? Not as much as a son wants to find a good woman, but pretty darn close. But his mom, listen, moms know what is good for a son. Son may be looking for other things. And so God knows it. The mom knows that it's not good for her son to be alone. God knows it's not good for a son to be alone. So the cycle starts all over again. And we know this, that she gives him advice to find a good woman. Why? We've heard that bumper sticker or t-shirt. Behind every good man is an awesome woman, right? Behind every good man is a great woman. So if you're a so-so man, then you just got a good woman. you want to be a great man, a good man, you need a great woman. But she tells her son this, Proverbs 31, verse 10 and 12. Who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. Her heart for her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not evil, all the days of her life. My mama, she was good mom and an incredible wife to my dad. Even when he didn't appreciate it, when he was a cheating man, when he was verbally abusive, my mom waited on him hand and foot. He'd come home from work. She'd meet him at the door with a cold drink and sit him down in his chair, something cold to drink. He'd get up 5 minutes later, and dinner was on the table because she'd been cooking it all day. And I remember getting up in the morning and watching my mom give breakfast to my dad in bed every single morning. Coffee and breakfast. And then I grew up and I got married and I woke up one morning and I said, what are you doing in bed? By the way, get up there. No. Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something about my bride, Jennifer. She fixes me breakfast every single day and brings it to bed. brings it to me in bed. Yeah. Lately it's been cereal, but that's my choice. No, that's my choice. And you know, I stay up all night Saturday and I take my shower around 3 or 4. When she hears the shower, she'll go and make me bacon and eggs before I come to church. And then she goes back to bed. Yeah, I'm a blessed man. I'm sorry to make you jealous. But man, your mom, your sisters, your bride, they're created by God to be loved and to express a love that we can't understand. There's a song by Steve Warner. It's a country song. It's not a Christian song. But I remember this. The first time I heard it, I thought, that is so beautiful. Let me read you the words. A woman loves beyond her question and dreams beyond her doubt. Her heart will lead and she will follow even when there's no way out. Her eyes refuse to see the danger as she walks right through the fire. A man will give himself to passion and desire, but a woman loves. That's so good. If you're a mom, thank you. It's awesome. If you have a mom, thank her. Let her know she's awesome. See, being a full-time mother, by the way, if you didn't know this, is the highest paying job on this earth. Why? Because it pays in love. Pure love. So rejoice. Call your mama. Hug your mama. Tell your mama thank you. Love your mama. And most of all, praise the Lord for giving us mamas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, I do thank you for the women in my life, my daughters who are mamas, my daughters who will be mamas one day, my wife, my mom, and the many ladies in this church that are just a wonderful display of selfless love. Father, a little reflection of the way you love us selflessly as well. And so, Father, I thank you today for the gifts you've given us. And today we focus on one in particular, moms. And so, Lord, we just love you so much and we praise you. Because you are incredible. And the gifts you give us are beyond our comprehension, but Lord, we do love them. And so, Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we rejoice over our mamas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and sing one last song.